I've had a lot of conversations like that, especially when I was doing counseling and life coaching with new moms or newlyweds or people, you know, moving, which were like, I really wanted this, but I miss my old life sometimes. Right. Is that mean I'm a bad mom or a bad wife, or I'm not really into where I am now? And I would always tell them that is a really positive thing, because it means you are fully committing to this next phase. Like if you were not letting go, you would not be experiencing grief.
Right.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller, Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand, and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
Welcome back, fourth chair friends. We are so glad to be with you for another episode of More Than Small Talk. And we wanted to start out by saying hello to Linda from Minnesota, who left us a comment in our Facebook group. And she said she looks forward to the podcast, but she also said the recent podcast about worth made her realize that sometimes she lets her worth be dictated by the number on the scale and forget that her worth is in being a child of God. And I just thought that was so insightful, and I could certainly relate, and I thought probably a lot of our listeners could too. So I just wanted to start out with Linda's little bit of wisdom and share it with you and say, hello, Linda, and we are so glad that you are a fourth chair friend. We love hearing from all of you, so you can find us in the Facebook group, and we would love to hear your comments and feedback as well.
Well, Linda and everyone else who is listening, we are excited about today's confession question. Have you ever been through a life change that made you question who you are?
Oh, my goodness. I just feel like I have a video running in my mind about my life. So I would say I'm going to hit some highlights. Marriage, motherhood, ministry. So I can remember when I became a mom and I had stayed home for 12 years and then I was about to enter the workforce. And I can remember going, oh my word, who am I now? Like I'm a working mom. It was such a terrifying, awesome, scary thing that I was like, okay, who am I now that I am not staying at home as a mom? So I know that that might sound silly, but for those of you who have stayed home for a really long time and then you're entering the workforce, you just go, is my brain going to work? Am I going to be able to handle this? Will I be able to handle cooking and cleaning and all of those things?
You're juggling
and the answer
a lot.
Is like, no, you're going to need some help and you'll have to readjust. So that would definitely be a change where, I just was like, okay, who am I now?
Yeah, there's a lot of juggling involved when you make a transition like that.
Right.
And I think that totally makes sense. You know, I remember driving my oldest to college, and I was all of 40 years old. And then the next year driving my next two twins to college, and I was all of 41 years old. And suddenly now I was an empty nester. And that's really young, for one thing, to be an empty nester. But I remember, like, I'm in the car and I'm talking with each one of them on the different journeys. And it's just like, I am bubbly Brenda. You know, I'm like, oh, it's going to be so great. And this is cool. And new season for you. And, you know, rah, rah, rah. And then I didn't even make it out the door with my first before I sat on the steps and just waited. Now, I was better with the next two. I made it all the way to the car. But I remember climbing in the car after I dropped off the next two. And in both instances, putting my head on the steering wheel and just crying. And the deal is, this is where transition is tricky. It's like, I was so excited for them.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know what I was for me. I don't even know why I was crying. It was just that it felt really unknown and sad.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who I was going to be now, because this role had been such a major part of who I was. Mm-hmm. And so when this actually airs, I promise you there are women all over the nation doing the exact same thing that are going to identify. And I'm going to tell you that your tears are legit and I get it. So I'm going to cry with you. It's good, but it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're also in the season of weddings over the summer. So mine, when I became a newlywed, was a huge change, not only because of marriage, but because we moved to Colorado. So I moved far away from all my friends and my family, and I was married, and I had gone from living in a house with 80 girls to living in a tiny apartment with one boy and all of these things. I didn't know how to cook. And I remember in particular one Sunday morning, and I wanted to be like the best wife and meet all the expectations, and not for Mark, but in my own head. And so I was going to make cinnamon rolls from scratch to take to our newlywed Sunday school class.
Why?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never done this since. But, you know, Colorado altitude baked goods do not cooperate. So Mark comes out to go to church, and I'm literally on the floor in the kitchen crying because my cinnamon rolls are like paperweights, you know? And he took one look at me and he goes, "We're going to the donut store." And it was fine. Yeah. You know, no one had that expectation of me, but me.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's sometimes how I react to change, is thinking, okay, whatever's next, I have to do it right. I have to do it perfectly.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important, Holly, that as we talk about this, is that we're really talking about transition. Yeah. That's what we're talking about is change, and trying to know who we are in the midst of that. And change can be amazing. It can also be really hard. It can be change that you didn't want that comes your way. So as we're talking about this confession question, what we're really asking is the question, who am I now?
And that, I think change always makes you ask that question. And you're right, I think change is always, well, most of the time, good and hard. I remember in grad school, they did this little chart of change and the stress it causes. And it was like having a baby and losing your job were like the same amount of stress.
Yeah.
Or like getting married and being diagnosed with something were like the same amount of stress. And they said whether change is welcome and really positive or whether it's unwanted and negative, it's stressful. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You know, and part of that is figuring out our identities in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And while you're talking about, like, when you're saying, I don't even know why I was crying, I do, because I tell my girls I'm going to college with them, you know? I mean, because I'm not there yet, you know? My girls are still at home and I can't even imagine, although I know that that's coming really soon.
Yeah.
And so just
your girl's driving.
My girl is driving. And she says this, she'll be like, I have two more years at home. And she's very matter of fact and very logical. And I'm like, whoa, like, calm down. You know, you just need to, like, simmer down. Like, you know, I was just changing your diapers yesterday, but that's the way it feels. But it is like this wonderful thing where you want to release all of these things, or you want to be this great wife, but we have all of these expectations that kind of trip us up. And so when I ask, who am I now? It's really more of, who do I expect myself to be? Because that's a real, like, that's a real trouble for me sometimes.
Yeah. Or who do other people expect me to be?
Yeah. Or, you know, how do I let go of this role that has been a huge part of my life? How do I let go of it? Or how do I allow this role to change so that I can begin to step into the new that God has for me? Because if I'm hanging on, it's going to be hard to step into the new.
Yeah.
So it's, like I said, legit question, legit tears. It's just sometimes change is hard, even when it's good.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and I think that, you know, when I was thinking about what's going to help us through these life transitions and what's going to help us with all of that to know who we are, I think for me personally, it's just giving myself room to grieve the old chapter.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Just to go, you know what? It's okay if I'm sad right now about this. You know, I need to, like, feel it, because a lot of times we stuff it or say, I can't believe I feel this way, or everybody goes through this. But for me to just embrace the grieving of what was, so then I can handle going into the next step.
Yeah. I think that's important. And I've had a lot of conversations like that, especially when I was doing counseling and life coaching with new moms or newlyweds or people, you know, moving, which were like, I really wanted this, but I miss my old life sometimes. Right. Is that mean I'm a bad mom or a bad wife, or I'm not really into where I am now? And I would always tell them that is a really positive thing because right. it means you are fully committing to this next phase. Like yeah. if you were not letting go, you would not be experiencing grief.
Right.
So it is okay to mourn the thing that you are saying, okay, that chapter's done.
Yeah. yeah.
And I'm going to fully move into this new one. Yeah. So if anyone's listening and feeling guilt, let that go.
Right. Yeah,
a healthy, for sure. important part of the process. And it just means you're fully committed to moving forward.
It right. is. And it's, we've touched on some traditional things like mm-hmm. motherhood and being married. And this goes across the board. This, I'm getting ready to go into a new season because I'm letting go of a part of ministry that I've been with for almost 14 years. And this question, who am I now? It's like a neon light mm-hmm. right now. This can be if you change jobs or if you change states or if suddenly something that you've been known for a really long time mm-hmm. goes away or changes, yeah. whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to say is that if we can fully appreciate the role that we have or had, and then begin to look forward to the new role that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important because, and sometimes I want to tiptoe into things and I need to not tiptoe in. I need to ask, this is more than small talk. Right. We need to talk about these things. But sometimes I have met and known people who were the most amazing moms ever, hands down. Like they could win awards at being a mom, and yet they struggled to be a mother-in-law. Or they really did poorly at being a mother-in-law. And if you really got to the root of that, you would find that holding on to that old role that brought so much joy and fulfillment to the point where you cannot let it change means that you see the person coming in as an intruder.
Yes.
Into your space. Or you've not allowed it to shift in a way that it can grow. 'Cause I'm still a mom. Right. I'm still a mom. I'm also a mother-in-law to three amazing human beings. My role just changed. So I think it's important that we allow our roles to change so that we can truly begin to enjoy some new roles that are right around the corner.
I think that's so good. And I think you probably just helped a lot of women right now wondering why they were struggling.
Yeah.
You know, with... like, hey, I was really good at this before. Why is there this tension?
Why is this so hard?
Oh, my goodness. I think that that's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think looking at really, I guess, transition reveals where we have placed our identity.
Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes absolutely. We don't know that until we come to it. And then we have to say, oops, Jesus, it looks like, you know, yeah. I put who I am into this role.
Yeah.
When that's... roles are always assignments for a season.
I love that.
You know,
yeah.
So I think something that helps me is coming back to like, who am I outside of those roles?
Yeah.
You know,
and yes.
thinking like, what is my mission statement
yes.
for the season? Or, you know, what are the verbs I will do my whole life? Just the how will look different. Like
yeah.
for you,
yeah.
Suze, you're always going to be mothering someone in
yeah.
some way, even
yeah.
if it's mothering your garden, you know,
yes.
getting those plants to grow.
Yeah.
I'm always probably, all three of us probably are always going to create
yes.
in
oh,
some
yeah.
way. You know, so if a woman's listening, she can ask, what are the verbs that I've done probably since I was about 10 and that
yeah.
I would like to do until I'm about 90? Just they're going to look really different depending
yeah.
on the specific assignments
yes.
God has for me.
Yeah.
So good.
I think that's super important. I remember somebody asking me that question, who am I now, Susie? I said, you're still you.
Yeah.
Like you are still you. Everything that you have always loved, you still love. And in fact, the shift in this role, whatever it is, maybe the very opportunity for you to go deeper into some things that you've not had time for in
right.
your life. You know, I became full-fledged into writing and creativity in the emptiness phase.
Yeah.
And I also remember, this was kind of a funny moment for me, looking across the table and seeing Richard on the other side of the table and be like, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
How are you? We've had these three kids that we've been nurturing and taking care of and sitting on bleachers and cheering it. Wow, you're still there,
right.
you know?
Aww.
And that began a new season for
yeah.
us as well. Richard's probably somewhere blushing as he's
yeah. I think he likes it. He's like, hey. He's going to be like, hey, Susie, hey, when you get home. Well, I mean, this is like silly, but I can remember saying, I will never drive a minivan. And
we've all said that, right? I know.
But like, I was like, this is the end of all coolness if you drive a minivan. And I can remember I bought my minivan by myself because, you know, I had these two babies and they have all of these things and I couldn't fit them in my cute little car. And I can remember I made that decision, but like in my mind, I was like, this is one step away from like bumper stickers all over the back of my super large minivan. But then that was a wanted thing that I was like, this is the season, you know, and I'm going to embrace it. And I'm going to drive this big mama load. Like I'm proud of it. You know?
Do you know why we bought the minivan? So that our kids could not touch each other.
Honest to goodness,
that was the thing. It was like we could space them apart where they could not touch each other. And it eliminated about 80% of the problem.
And like, you don't want them touching you. I mean, like, toddlers are beautiful, but they're so gross. They're sticky. I did say that. But they're like touching you and they're sticky and you don't know what they're eating. Like, if they're snacking on something, you don't know if that's a goldfish from like 2 years ago, a chicken nugget that's like, you know, from it's, So that's another good thing. Space.
So but, there's always good to be found in transition. Is that true? I just really want to dig into this because I think it's important because there are women listening right now that they're in the midst of transition. Is there good to be found in the midst of hard transition? And that's a hard question, but I think it's worth asking.
Yeah. I think there is. I think the good never negates the grief.
Right. Yeah.
I think we can believe that if there's good, then it means I have to feel like there's no bad.
Right. That's really important.
And I think being able to say, I hate this.
Yes.
It's not what I wanted.
Yes.
It's not the way things should be. You know, it's not what we are created for. I'm going to cry and beat in the pillow and, you know, tell God how much I do not want this. Yeah. And yet at the same time, I'm going to say, and yet there's hope.
Right? Yeah.
You know? That's good. And I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about like what's going to help us if someone doesn't really know who they are. And I think that that's a valid thing that we go through as women to say, I don't really even know who I am right now. Go on a self-discovery journey, you know, figure out what you like. I'm thinking about that movie, Runaway Bride, where she didn't know what kind of eggs she likes. And she liked the kind of eggs of whoever she was with at the time.
Yeah.
And so she really didn't know what she liked because she thought, I just need to be and like whatever the person in front of me wants. So I think that that's a valid thing to say, you know what, figure it out. Like you're not behind. Don't stress. Don't beat yourself up over it. Figure out what you like. Figure out why you want to get up in the morning. And let that be your goal for a little while. If you feel like you've got this huge question mark in your life, figure out who you want to be. Mm-hmm. And then you can go into whatever transition knowing exactly who you are and what you want to pursue in your life.
Yeah. And I think knowing transitions don't diminish our value in any way. Like you said, I don't want a minivan because I'll feel a little less cool, you know? And like, that's kind of a lighthearted one. But I think a lot of times we can say like, are people going to need me as much? Am I going to add as much value to the places where I am? Do I matter as much as before? And so just pausing and saying, yes, absolutely.
Yes to all of the best.
Right.
Yes.
You know, our transitions in our lives don't change our worth to God or to other people. Mm-hmm. Our roles may look different, but our value is always the same.
That's so really good.
So if someone's listening and they're like, okay, I hear you. I'm going through transition and change, and I'm wondering how I can start doing that in a more positive way today, even that, if that is shedding some tears, what's one kind of practical step that we can take when it comes to dealing with transition in our lives?
Yeah. Whenever my littles and I sit down to do anything artsy, we paint rocks and hide them on the trail, or we paint, or we draw. One of the little guidelines we have in the house is to embrace the messy. Mm-hmm. that if you make a mistake, it's okay. Like, we're not going to throw it out. Just take that mistake and see if it can be something really cool. And that's been a really fun part of doing art with them and creative with them. I think it's really important that as you're doing this, to understand that transition and change can be messy. And even in the messy, to embrace the fact that you're going to learn something from that you're going to grow. So to give yourself grace in those messy moments, and even to look for the masterpiece. I'm trying not to be cliche, but to really look for the masterpiece in that and say, maybe this mistake or maybe this messiness is all part of the growth process and I am becoming something new.
Yeah. And if someone's creative, you know, doing a project like you were talking about, like doing a scrapbook of your child's high school years as they go off to college or, you know, whatever it is. I think, like you said, creativity lets us experience change with our hands, which helps align us with change in our hearts.
That's good. It
gives us some space to process, you know? So I would say someone's listening and they're creative, then here's your permission to go spend some extra time and maybe some extra money too.
And my little step would be for the list makers and the bullet journal lovers. One time I spoke these words over my oldest daughter who was really wrestling with anxiety and her self-worth. And I said, this is who you are. And I made like a bullet point. She framed it. It's in her room. So what if you did that for yourself? I am strong. I am smart. I am sensitive. Just write 5 good things about yourself and celebrate those.
Yeah. You could also write down 5 things that you love. Like Holly said, from the age of 10 on, 5 things that I love. And if I sit down and do that, I could say I have always, always loved writing. But there's a couple of things in me still. Like, I have always loved art.
Yeah.
I would love to take an art class. Like, I have always loved photography. I've always loved gardening. Those are things that there are some things that we really love that get put on a shelf for a season. That to write those things down and say, okay, I'm going to take a step deeper into one of these things.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And I think pausing to think about the change before this one, because the reality is we're living in the change of yesterday. It just feels normal.
Right.
You know, like, and that kind of reminds us, okay, at some point, this is just going to be my new normal.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay. And I've actually been through a lot of change in my life, you know, when you look back over that and
say,
where do I see God's hand? How did I handle that? What went well? What would I do differently? Mm-hmm. You know, and just going, okay, I actually have done a whole lot of change. If I'm still halfway sane and breathing and here, then I actually know how to handle change.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's something that I say over and over is we're going to be okay. Like, if my family's going through a transition, if my friends are going through something, you're going to be okay. That is just something that I always say, even if I'm saying it to myself, I'm going to be okay, just to know that. Well, next week we are going to be talking about what now. So when change happens, how do we handle it?
Well, we would like to ask a favor of you. If you have been listening to More Than Small Talk, or even if this is your first time and you have sat in that fourth chair and become a fourth chair friend, would you consider leaving a review on the podcast app that you listen to More Than Small Talk on? We read those. We delight in them. We are so thankful for you. And I want you to know something. As you're listening right now, as you're in transition, we get it. We've been there. Some of us are going through it again, even as we speak. But you are exactly who God made you to be, and there's new waiting just for you.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.